Hello and welcome to the Perfectly Imperfect Duo. Lily and I are, it's been a while because we just struggle with timings. Again, it's my fault because I have a little baby and I'm trying to work. And obviously we're both on different time zones. And then when we do eventually get together, we've just spent the last hour just chatting. but that's important too. So today we're going to talk about putting ourselves before others. And in my mind, this is really for anybody, in the sense that if you're a practitioner, if you work with other people, in their mental health, or if you're a parent and you're looking after children or caring for the children, even your partner, whoever it is, it's about considering the importance of putting ourselves before everybody else. And that even includes our children. And I know that can sometimes be very difficult for people. It's like, well, how would I ever put myself before my children? So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I love this topic. I you know what? How I put myself, how I take care of myself now, understanding the principles, is very different of, because I had heard this, you know, it always is like, put your own oxygen mask on first. But when I think of this, how I take care of myself, yes, there are obviously some of like the what you think of things, but a huge one is me really noticing the signs earlier that I'm in my head, I'm putting pressure on myself and I'm taking myself seriously. So, because all of the other stuff is good, you know, yes, I should. One way that I used to really take care of myself, and I still do, but that was more like, to me, on the surface, like I don't do well when I'm hungry. And so as a school psychologist, we did have a lot of crisis, especially at the high school. We had a frequent, suicide assessments. And sometimes we would have to call a psychiatric mobile response unit and we'd be waiting, I always made sure to eat. Even though I know that might be weird, or if I had kids coming in for crisis, obviously sometimes I'm not going to eat right in the middle of them saying something. But one way that I've always taken care of myself, is I know myself and I know I'm not going to do well if I'm hungry. But that's kind of a surface level one also, because when I was going to say this before we started recording, when I started working with both of our mentors, Dr. Pettit, he said the best thing, I was like, I want to be the best coach, you know, just not for the accolades, but I want to serve people best. If they're
you want
coming,
the results, you want the results for other people. Yeah,
for them. And he said, you know, I understood the principles. And so what I need, the most important thing was to be in a good feeling. And that's what you taught me too, was like, I didn't have to be highlighting books like before I'd see them, if I could nap and relax and be in a good feeling. And so that to me is when I think of showing up for my clients and showing up for my kids, me taking care of myself means being in a good feeling, which means not getting lost in kind of this in my imagination when it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And for me, people talk about being selfish and you can't, you've got to put other people first and all of that. And I get it. And I get why we would say that. And I get why that's a thing, but actually human nature, you only have to look at animals to see that we are survivors. And part of survival is selfishness. So whether we like to admit it or not, the way that the way that human nature works is that we internalize everything. And so even doing good for other people, putting other people first, is internalized in some way as a benefit for us. And I say that, and people don't like that, because it's like, well, no, I love my children unconditionally, or I want to do the best for my clients. It's not about me. It is always about us. That is human nature. You know, some species of animals will eat their children if they're hungry. Like, they don't have the same gift of thought in the same way that we do, and the same, you know, etiquette and culture and society, that it's not acceptable to eat your children if you're hungry. But for me, it's an example of That is nature. Survival, you know, would have us be the last person on earth if that was the case. You know, it's, and it's seeing that, that it doesn't mean we can't be loving and compassionate and you know, do things for other people. But ultimately, if we neglect ourselves, we're neglecting the most important part of that whole entire process. We can't be the best version of ourselves for our children or for our clients or for anybody if we don't put ourselves first. And as much as, like I say, it's, you know, the dialogue around it is that that's selfish. People are, you know, I've even heard people being called narcissistic for putting themselves first. And you know, again, it's this culture of they're so selfish that, like, we're all selfish by nature. And if you're really honest with yourself, there will always be something in it for you, because that, it's not because you're selfish or not a good person. It's just nature.
Yeah. What does it look like for you to put yourself first?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, it might be a bit different at the moment with having a new baby, but the biggest thing for me that I never used to be able to do, but do better now, is, again, it comes down to that for me that in my head goes selfish, but is asking for space and time alone. Admitting that sometimes I want to not parent. I want to not adult. I want to be completely and utterly self-indulgent. And for me, that sometimes just means switching off and doing nothing and just being lying in bed by myself. And before, what I wouldn't ask for that because I would see it as selfish, and therefore I'd build up resentment and I'd be looking at people around me going, nobody helps me and I do more and I do this. And actually I realized, I can't remember when it was, but at some point it's like, well, I can sit and get resentful of everything and everyone around me, or I can just ask for what I need and let go of the idea that that's somehow selfish. And I will regularly say to Matt, I don't want a parent tonight. Can you just get Aria to bed and I'll just check May is okay, but can I just not parent tonight? And he's like, yeah, sure. And if he wants to not parent, I'm good with that too. It's like, and again, even those words are some people like, how could you not parent? You're a parent, and being a parent means you're always a parent. Yes, I get that. But some nights I just don't want a parent.
Yeah. I also think when you put yourself first, or when we're also putting our children for, like, we're taking, mm-hmm. you know, because if we're not going to honor our boundaries, it would be great to tap somebody else in that could maybe have more bandwidth if Aria was fussy or some, you know, when I think of that, because I also think we're, you know, I know Aria's little to have that lesson, but, you know, you're showing Maya that it's okay to rest and to ask for help, you know, because when I think of it, I think also my well-being, I feel like it's pretty high, and especially compared to when I used to be anxious, that sometimes actually I'm really okay for doing a lot for my kids, where I think when I was struggling, there was times when I really did need, I didn't have the bandwidth to drive them to a bunch of sports events or to kind of put them ahead of me. So it's interesting, because when you're talking, I think because I've kind of created my life where most of the time I can be really, feel really good and work from home, and I get really excited to, in a way, put my kids first, but mm-hmm. it's because I think behind the scenes, I put myself first. But when you were sharing, there's some days where my daughter, I usually bring her to school in the morning, but it's about an hour, 'cause it's like half an hour there, half an hour back. And there's sometimes when the kindest thing is to say, can I put you in an Uber? Because I just need that time to chill, or it's going to cut it too close to something. And I don't want to, but I mean, most days I do it, but sometimes I'll say to her, like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed and I could, 'cause there was one time a couple weeks ago and I just, it wasn't a normal day when I ever have her Uber, but I said, I'm really stressed. And it came to me that, like, I wanted that hour just to, like, start the laundry and clean the kitchen. And I know that that's, but that was going to be restorative for me. I didn't want to have that.
Important for you. Yeah.
And she said, I said, oh, would you mind? And she said, oh no, mom, I can tell you're a little stressed. And I said, oh, thanks. It will just be so nice just to not. And I felt so good because that was exactly what I wanted, because you know how life gets and it gets busy. And then sometimes I see the clutter and I really just wanted, and if I didn't have that, I there wouldn't have had that time to not do anything and just to slowly like listen to music and tidy the kitchen and start a laundry. And that was really me putting myself first.
I had a similar thing with Maya the other day, and she, obviously she's same age as your daughter, isn't she?
Yeah, 15
or nearly 16. And she doesn't get as much of my and dad's time now because we've got the baby. Like, and I say to her, you're lucky you had us to yourself for 15 years. Not many kids can say that. So I don't actually feel too guilty about that. It's like the baby right now needs more of our attention because she can't feed herself. She can't clothe herself. So listen, this is just how it is. You know, it was the same with you when you were a baby. And I get really tired by the nighttime because we're up now at like, I don't know, 6:30 a.m. every single day. We're working the night a couple of times usually. And it's a long day for work, because you know, I sometimes work evenings as well. So I'm exhausted. And she said to me, oh, mom, will you please come and lie in bed with me and watch a program before you go to bed? Well, we'd been out to get a dessert, just me and her, because I wanted to make that time for her. And so then she's like, oh, I love having more. Can I have more of this? And so she's like, can we watch a program? And part of me was like, oh, I really should. But then this is where I'm better now. It's like, I just went, you know what, darling? I'm sorry. No, I'm really tired. I need to get in bed. And she was a little disappointed. And she might have even had some thoughts of, oh, it's not fair. And we used to do this a lot and now we don't do it. But I'm okay with that, because that's just our reality right now. And actually, if I'd have stayed up for another hour with her, probably fell asleep in her bed, then woke up probably at 2 a.m. and gone to my own bed, you know, that just kind of interrupted sleep. Then the next day, I'm going to be moody and impatient because I'm tired. And it's like, actually, it was better for her in the long run that I went to bed and got that sleep. So, you know, we have to, it's about being realistic of what we're capable of. And I don't mean as in, oh, we're not good enough, we're not adequate, but we are human beings. We're not robots, and we're not capable of being and shouldn't be overstimulated 24/7, giving everything to everyone and not taking anything back for ourselves. And, you know, Maya was, you know, I suppose when I was still quite anxious, was Maya was growing up, I again got used to saying, I feel anxious and I just need half an hour to myself. And I would verbalize that very clearly. Because I also, like you said, I want her to be able to say, I want half an hour to myself. Because why shouldn't we be able to have half an hour to ourselves? Even if we have got children, even if we run our own business or whatever it is that we've chosen for our life, it still doesn't mean we can't sometimes want to opt out of that temporarily.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was things when I was more anxious that I knew that I opted out of, and it was the kindest thing, you know, because sometimes if it was sports and my kids would have to, you know, there was one time and my daughter had done, she did cross country, and then that was fine, but it was still a struggle because that was when I also worked outside the home. I think I have more bandwidth, one, because I'm not anxious, but I'm also not working outside the home. And I'm also not having such an intense job as a school psychologist, which there was a lot of crisis and meetings and assessment. And so I just have more bandwidth for driving to different sports events and volunteering and other stuff. But there was one time, so we did cross country and I'd have to come back and get my son and then go. And then the next time was going to be track. And that was going to be like on the opposite end of a freeway. And I just was like, I'm going to be in such a bad mood. And I, you know, and so I said, like, I think we're not going to do the track. And she was like, okay. And I know sometimes my daughter, cause I signed my son up for rugby. And sometimes I'm excited that I have the bandwidth to drive all over. And we talked about, cause gymnastics, she was doing gymnastics and my mom would help me out with some of the driving, but my parents have a great life and they travel a lot. So she was coming up to the time with gymnastics where she was going to be competing and there would be meets, you know, an hour to two or three every weekend, and their dad wouldn't have been able to go. And it was going to be up to me. And I was really still struggling with anxiety and driving anxiety. And so I said to her, like, do you love gymnastics? Like, do you, you really wanting to do the meets? She was like, but now I, looking back, she told me she did, but she said, no, it's okay, Mom. It's all right. And I said, okay, good. Because I would cry every day that I had to pick her from gymnastics. So, so tired. Cause I would work as a school psychologist and I would drive and get her at 7, 2 times a week. And you know, it wasn't, I didn't have the bandwidth to do that. But so now when I was taking my son, cause now it's whatever, 8 years later, I don't know, I'm in a different place. We were talking about it and she did want to do it, but that was still the best decision. There was no way I could have done it.
And it's not damaging to her. This is the other thing that we worry, don't we? Like, oh, if I don't do everything, somehow my children are deprived. Like, let's be realistic about the majority of our children. They're not deprived. Like, you know, they get a lot, they're taken care of, they're loved. And it's this thing about, you know, being a good enough parent does not mean we have to say yes to everything and run around like chaotic and never ever put ourselves first. That's not what being a good enough parent is about.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because also she's thriving. You know, she, as she's doing that, I would take her to Ultimate Frisbee and she goes to camp and she does ceramics and she does the plays. Like, she was fine. But I did have some guilt, which I would never now, you know, when I opted out, because I had this big story of all the other parents can drive them to gymnastics and drive them to track. And sometimes I'd get on my high horse and I'd say, well, they're not struggling with anxiety and they don't have to be a working mom and blah, blah, blah. But I don't need to put anybody down or put myself up, or it's fine to just take it day by day when, if you need a rest or sport event by sport event.
And you don't know that those parents who are taking their children to all these events aren't then screaming and shouting the next day because they're too overwhelmed. Like, we don't know what goes on for everybody. And I think, you know, if we're really brutally honest, and this is sometimes a hard thing to admit, but if we're honest, what it usually comes down to, two things, the reason we feel like we can't say no. One is that we fear that we're going to damage our children in some way. And again, that's just our own insecurities. That's nothing about them. That's about us. And two, because we worry about what other people think of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we weren't worrying about other people's ideas of what we should and shouldn't be doing, we would be much more, you know, ready to just say no more often to stuff.
You know, it's such a good point. Somebody messaged me, and I don't know if this person has children. I can't remember, but we were chatting on Instagram and they feel guilty anytime they say no, you know? And so I think this fear of judgment or pressure that we put on ourselves, whether we have children or not, to see our friends, to do this work event. Like, I think there's a few things, but I think two things that are so different for me. So when I was at my worst mentally with severe anxiety and panic and everything, when I had my two kids, the difference was, one, I didn't really understand what was going on. I kept trying more and more and doing more and more and more for my mental health, more meditation, more, you know, whatever, all that stuff. If you know my story, you know, all the more, but I still put pressure on myself to do where I really should have like done nothing. Like, and I yelled. So I had a year or two, I don't know how long exactly. And I was just, that was never the type of parent that I felt, but because I continued to, you know, my kids were in all the normal things, they weren't overly scheduled, but I was so, so, so struggling, and to continue to drive around, I might, you know how it feels, like my nerves felt exposed. Like, I was just in panic, in fight or flight for almost all day. And so I would yell in the car sometimes because I was so scared. And I just, and now where I'm at now. So also because I think during lockdown, it kind of coincided with, I was also much more peaceful. And I realized, like, I love a slower life. You know, I really, for me, it is, I'm so happy that I don't have to go into work every day. I get to just, I never yell. And I don't try hard not to yell. My well-being is just so different that I don't take everything seriously. So my life is slower and I understand. And so my head is quieter. But before, when I did yell, I tried all these different programs, you know? And so one was like, you put your kids in orange shirts so you see that and you don't yell. And I would do this thing called peaceful parenting, which I'm sure is great. in for works for some people, but I would listen to this like hour long meditation. And then I would try to have special time with my kids for 10 to 15 minutes. None of that mattered because I was not in a good place. So everything that I did on top of it, like my baseline, you know, one, I think I was too busy and I didn't have the capacity to be that busy because my mental well-being was so bad. But now, like, and I'm not being like, I'm great but I'm really, really happy and I'm really light. And I also, my kids are 8 and 16, so they're in a good place and my mental health is in a good place. Me yelling, that's just light years away, but it's because I know I'm rambling, but like it's so, if you are listening and you're feeling like there's no shame because I was so, there was a good period where it was a dark period, but now I'm on the other side. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what the point,
when I'm thinking about what you've just said there, well, first of all, I need to ask you, you didn't put your children in orange shirts, did you?
No. Luckily that seemed like too much work. And also I could kind of tell it was like, I just get riled up in the car. Like I was so scared. And it was when they would make any sort of noise. I was just terrified.
I was overstimulated.
And so I would yell, shut up.
When we get frustrated or agitated because we're anxious or we're overwhelmed or overstimulated, it's like, how does anyone then find the time to meditate for an hour before they then approach their children to do anything? It's like, almost like that's part of the issue, isn't it? That people just don't feel like they've got the time. And actually, we don't need to do anything in preparation. We just need to take care of ourselves, because then when we're more settled and, like you say, in peace of mind, in a good place, we don't respond and react in the same way.
Yeah. But I didn't know how to take care of myself until I met you and came into the three principles conversation. So I think that's where what was missing to me, because what I thought taking care of myself looked like lacked the basic understanding. So I did meditation. I thought getting up in the morning an hour before my kids, and sometimes an hour and a half, doing some form of gentle exercise. I had like a mantra. I had an altar, you know, where I would kind of pray and start with gratitude, you know, a gratitude journal, meditation, slow movement, like lighting incense. Like to me, people, isn't that taking care of myself? But that to me is like air quotes. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like the fluff of taking care of yourself, because
it's taking care of your external world as opposed to your internal world, which takes more selfishness. You know, it's about being selfish.
But to me, it's also what I think, and I can only speak for me, but I can imagine, because I work with people that are a lot like me, you have to also have an understanding of what's going on. And that allows you to effortlessly take care of yourself. Because when it's like the brain's like, or their ego or brain's like, let me take care of myself, it is like, I'm going to get a massage and I'm going to go in bed. But if you're all still believing everything you think and you're taking your thoughts seriously, you know, like because when I met you, one thing that I realized early on was that I didn't think I needed to have such a long night and morning routine. Like it was like, and maybe all of those things were actually contributing to how shaken up and how anxious I was. But I thought that was me taking care of myself, because at night I also thought, I need to go to bed early because I'm broken and I could lose my mind and I X, Y, and Z, you know? And so actually the first part for me taking care of myself was really understanding and then doing less.
And I think, so maybe if we were to end this now on a, you know, if someone's thinking, so how do I don't understand, I don't have the understanding. So how do I take care of myself? And one thing I would say is just, how often do you just pause everything and everyone around you and consider what you need?
Yeah. And I think too, what if you threw out every bit of knowledge, you know, like, oh, this, you taking care of yourself, it's not very restorative if you're watching TV or on your phone. Like, what if you just threw that out and you just, yeah, you dropped it and you got quiet. And what do you want? What feels nice in that moment to me? Because sometimes we think what it looks like.
And sometimes for me, scrolling through my phone is restorative because it's the only way that I'm taking time out and pausing, because it's the only way I will justify when I'm in a lower state of mind. I can't take time for myself, but I'll go and scroll on my phone for 10 minutes. And sometimes maybe that's all we've got access to in our mind at that moment. And that's enough. Again, it's like, have such ideas, don't we, on do it like this, do it like that, turn the lights down, all of this. And yeah, in a perfect world, like, we know there's loads of things we can be doing to help ourselves, but ultimately we just need to put ourselves first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think when you put yourself first, and then also you pause, you can be aware of all those stories. Oh, but if I don't show up, is this person going to be sad? And when we put ourselves first, we actually model it. I remember one of my friend, Tina, and I never had a friend say anything like this. And it was so awesome, because she said, I think I have about like 45 minutes to hang out. Like, but she was saying, and that's about all I think I can handle. And I, you know, this was years ago before I even had my second child, but I thought, like, when you get together with your friend, you just are there. And now it seems so silly, because a lot of friends, we just meet up for a short time, but I'd never had a friend say that, but I didn't take it personally. And it was like, oh, I have permission to say, like, do you want to get together for 45 minutes or an hour? You know, you don't have to be at the whim of, I'm going to stay for 3 hours now. I could say, yeah,
I could. Permission to please yourself, isn't it? Permission to please yourself.
Yeah, permission to please yourself. Yeah.
So that might be a nice place to leave it. And if we, you know, if there's anything that you take away from this podcast, is maybe considering or reflecting on how often you give yourself permission to please yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that.
Me too. Okay, thank you, everyone. And thanks for joining us.
Yep, bye.